looking at water?
Well, I've tried to. I mean, that's part of the complex argument of the book, yeah.
Be sure that that was okay.
In the book, I illustrate that a lot through looking at the rituals and looking at the hymns and the prayers and where these values are really encoded. And it's hard to sort of say that in 5 minutes, right, what the connection is. Right.
And I think I need to change the tape just so I
okay,
don't lose.
Let me get some water.
Okay.
Another way of talking about the honor, shame, or the respeto, vergüenza pattern is to talk about the moral economy of water, which is basically the moral economy of water sharing. Anthropologists have written about moral economy for a while, and I use this concept in my book. And moral economy is really a system of values and ethics that supports cooperative subsistence behavior. So cooperating in agriculture, cooperating in irrigation, which isn't to say that it's always like, you know, blissful harmony. Obviously, there's a lot of give and take and a lot of fighting and a lot of bickering that goes on, but that the ideal is that you're supposed to do it a certain way. So people may not always do what they're supposed to do, but they know how it should be. But this moral economy of water sharing, which is that no one takes it all such that someone goes entirely without, which is basically a survival mechanism. But this moral economy of cooperative subsistence activity, and it sustains a certain kind of how people should behave vis-a-vis each other, translates into other aspects of social life. So the moral economy of water is related to the moral economy of respeto. Respeto is one manifestation of the moral economy of cooperative behavior that makes survival in a harsh and arid environment possible. And anthropologists have written about this in connection with peasant society and also in connection with the arid lands societies of southern Spain and North Africa.
Okay, and how does ritual tie into all of, to every, you know, just this connection?
Well, what is ritual? I mean, ritual is patterned repeated behavior where that involves a lot of collective work. Ritual, and I'm talking here primarily about religious ritual, because obviously we have secular rituals as well. Ritual is something that all peoples engage in one form or another. And traditional land-based peoples have their different kinds of rituals. And the kind that I've most looked at are those among Catholic parishioners in northern New Mexico. But I think, you know, obviously the Pueblo peoples, the Navajos, the other Native American groups, as well as Anglo-American groups, have their ritual forms. Ritual requires cooperative behavior. It's set off usually at a special time, with, you know, whether it's Sunday morning or whatever, Saturday night, Friday, for different religious groups. It often takes place in special places. It involves often its own kinds of language, as well as other dance, special language, songs, incense, prayer. Sometimes substances are imbibed in certain groups as part of the ritual procedure. Often involves feasting of some kind, holy images. In other words, it's a special occasion that sort of consecrates particular symbolic forms. And it brings people collectively to celebrate their collectivity. The sociologist Durkheim suggested that this was that what people were celebrating in these collective moments, where what was achieved was greater than what any single individual could achieve, that there was intensified by the fact that it's a collective activity. They were really celebrating, in some sense, their collectivity. Most people will tell you that what they're celebrating is their relationship to their divinities, to God or the saints or their or whatever. But I think that these are special moments that people engage in where there's a lot of stuff that's going on. You could say, well, it reaffirms their connection to each other. It involves the exchange of goods and services. If there's feasting, you know, who puts it up, who pays for it, how much labor is involved. There's a lot of work involved in these. So it's exchange. It helps reaffirm people's sense of belonging, of their connection to each other. It also is a transformative process. That for people to participate in ritual, it involves a kind of, takes place at a particular place in a particular time. It has a certain duration, that's time that's set off, sort of special from everyday workday activity. You may get dressed up for it. But in going through it, there's a kind of inner and a kind of outer transformation that takes place. It's like, say, when somebody dies. Regardless of what you believe, it seems to me, about what happens to people when they die, whether they go to heaven or whether this is it, that going through the ritual, whatever that may be, of acknowledging the passing, whether it's a funeral ritual, a mass, the saying of rosaries, whatever it is, it brings people together to acknowledge this enormous passage that's taking place. And in some sense, I think it gives them a context in which they can share their emotions. It gives them a form in which they can express or suppress their emotions. And it reaffirms the continuity of the group. So in a way, funerals or other kinds of rituals, whether they're rites of passage or calendrical rituals, they give people a form that has a kind of continuity and a kind of collectivity to it. And it affirms your meaning and it relates you to larger forces. However you may think of those, whether you're thinking of God or the saints or the ancestors or the Kachinas or whatever, it takes you and relates you as an individual to the collectivity and the collectivity to the forces that rule nature. And it's a profoundly important process that people seem to be pursuing all over, you know, that seems to be one of the universals, although the particulars of what people believe and how they do it may vary. Ritual behavior, and particularly ritual that relates people to the holy, is pretty widespread in the world. It may be universal. And it's very pervasive all over New Mexico, I mean, among Catholic peoples, but other peoples as well. I mean, obviously the ritual cycles of the Native American groups are part and parcel of their culture and their traditions and who they are. I mean, very often when people say we're losing our culture, often what they mean is not only that they may be losing their language, but they're no longer doing their old rituals. And there's a sense that as long as you participate in these rituals and you do them the right way, and they're passed on from one generation to another, they reaffirm who you are. They keep you going. And I think they keep people going as individual believers or participants, as well as groups, as well as a kind of self-identified people. And very often these ritual processes relate people to their place. Certainly the Native American dances and other ceremonials are often very tightly connected to place, and I think a lot of the folk Catholic rituals are too. Procession, it seems to me, is a ritual about place because it goes through space and it stops at certain places and then it returns to where it came from, and that territory that it marks, that it circumscribes, that it inscribes, I mean, you're inscribing the place, you're making it sort of reconfirming its holiness, and you're also inscribing your own body with your membership that's publicly observed in this process. So ritual, I think, is central to people's sense of who they are, as individuals, but as members of groups.
And, you know, I can't remember if it's in Dia de San Isidro.
San Isidro? Mm-hmm.
And that's the day that you go into the acequia to clean?
The acequia is clean. I mean, they're even now in April, they're still cleaning the ditches. The ditches which is a ritual, the cleaning
right,
of the...
Oh, go ahead.
The cleaning of the ditch. I mean, one of the things that every Parsiante must do is once a year you go to, and it's in the spring, and sometimes it's as early as February, and it's through March and April, and sometimes as late as May. The Mayor Domo says, okay, we're going to clean the ditch. And so everybody shows up on a certain day. And by everybody, I mean usually, historically, it's been the men, the Parsiantes or their sons, and people start going around the age of puberty. Today, you see women also going to clean the ditch, or else you pay someone to act as your peon, your paid labor who goes. But if you own, you have to send so much labor depending on how much acreage you have under irrigation. So it's a proportional commitment to the maintenance of the system, and everybody cleans the ditch. And so the Mayor Domo marks off the tareas, how much you're supposed to do, and everybody moves through the ditch, and they chop away the debris, they clean out the ditch, they clean the banks, and sometimes it takes a day, sometimes depending on how long the Acequia Madre is, it may take several days. And that is a ritual. It's a kind of secular ritual. Among the Pueblos, I think it's often more explicitly a sacred rite. Sometimes it's, you know, people will pray in the Spanish-speaking villages. But that's an example of a ritual that either sacred or secular that is tied up with the moral economy of water and the maintenance of the system as a system of community and of participation and also of, you know, subsistence.